This morning we're beginning a brand new series, and I'm excited about this series, and and it's, I don't know. Just pray for us as we go through this. Something I noticed when each of us came in this morning, you know, we all have something in common, something very much in common. Some of us have the same, some of us have a little different. Some of us it's easy to say, and some it's hard to say. But the one thing we all have in common is a name. Every person in this room possesses a name. It's usually a name that's given to us by our parents. Perhaps we were named after a relative, someone that your parents were really close to, maybe a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, something like that. And it may have been just a name that your parents liked. You know, it was popular at the time, and so they named you that. Or maybe you were like me. I was named after a relative, not by my parents. My aunt named me before my mother and father at the time knew what my name was going to be. She got so excited, she went to the newspaper. She worked at the newspaper. She went in, she typed up my name, put it in the newspaper. My parents were surprised to find out what my name was. But that's a true story, and so that name stuck. Ian, he's our baby. He was named because mom and dad were in the delivery room a month early. We didn't have a clue what we were going to name him, so I went walking around, and I picked two different names that we liked, and that's how he got his name. So special, right? But that's true. I mean, that happens with a lot of us. But we all have a name. Whatever the reason and however you came by your name, the reality is there's probably nothing extremely significant about your name or mine. And just for the record, the name Donnie, it means king. That's what it means. But I've yet to convince my wife of that, whose name, by the way, is Kelly, which means warrior. I'll just let you imagine what goes on in our house. But anyway, we all have names. They're fun to figure out what they are. There is, however, a single name, a solitary name with great significance. And this morning, we're beginning this series, and I'm excited about it. We're going to go all the way through our Christmas season, maybe even into next year, looking at and studying and hopefully coming away with a better understanding of the different names of Jesus. Each name ascribed to Jesus has a very special meaning. And this morning, I want to start our series off by looking at that name that is above every name. I want to look at the name of Jesus. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. That's what we're going to look at. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, in this great exhortation, proclaims this. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him, who, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus, it truly does stand out above all other names. So many songs written about the name of Jesus, songs we sang this morning about the name of Jesus. In the Bible, Jesus is given many names, many titles throughout. I want to share some of those with you, so hang on for just a second. And I just want to share them with you. But all through Scripture, you'll find Jesus referred to as Adam, anointed, amen, Alpha, and Ancient of Days. He's the beginning, he's the begotten, he's beloved, he's the branch, he's the bread, he's the bridegroom, he's the bright and morning star. He's the chief cornerstone, he's the counselor, he's the covenant, he's the Christ. He's the deliverer, he's the day spring, he's the day star, he's the door. He's everlasting Father, and he's Emmanuel. He's friend, he's faithful witness, and he is the fountain of life. He is God, he is the gift, he is the governor, he is the guide, he is the glorious one. He's help, he's hope, he's husband, he's horn of salvation, he's healer, he's head of the church, he's heir of all things, he's high priest, he's the holy one. He is the I Am. He is the inheritance. He is the image of God. He is immortal and he is invisible. He is Judah. He is just. He is judge. He is King of kings and King of glory, King everlasting. He is life. He's the light. He's love. He's the lion. He's the lamb. He's the lawgiver. He's the living stone. And he's the Lord of glory. He's the messenger. He's the Messiah. He's the mediator and the master. He is mighty God. He is the Omega. He's the only begotten of God. He is the offering. He is the priest. He is the Passover. He's the potentate. He's the prophet. He's the prince of peace. And he is the physician. He is righteous. He is rabbi. He is ransom and he is rest. He is the root of Jesse. He is the refiner. He is our refuge. He is the resurrection. He is the ruler. He is the redeemer. And he is the rock of the ages. He is stone and shepherd of and son of God. He is son of man. He is shield. He is servant. He is sufferer. He is savior. He is sinless sacrifice. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is teacher, he is truth, he is tabernacle, he is treasurer, he is the tree of life, he is witness, he is the word, he is the way, and he is the wonderful counselor. He is Jesus. When you say that name, this is what you're talking about. Of all the names given to this man, none is as precious, as sweet, or as majestic as the name Jesus, because it indeed is the name that is above every name. Why is it that the name of Jesus is so important? Why is it so special? Why does it spark great controversy with some and for others great comfort? It's a name that means Savior. It's the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. It is a name given to our Lord because he saves his people from their sins. This is a special role. It's his special role. He saves them from the guilt of sin by cleansing us in his own atoning blood. He saves us from the dominion of sin by putting in our hearts the sanctifying spirit. He saves us from the presence of sin when he takes us out of this world to rest with him for all eternity. He will save us from all the consequences of sin as he showers us with his anointed blood and he gives us the glorious body in the last days. Jesus is a very encouraging name to some who are deep in sin, and yet his is a stinging name to some of the same. The reason is because his name causes them to confront their sin. And some don't want to confront their sin, and so he becomes a source of frustration. And for others, they're glad to be confronted because they have come to realize that the way they've been doing life all this time is not working. The name that is above every name, Jesus, it points to his purpose on this earth and his great desire. The rulers of this world have often called themselves great, have called themselves conquerors and bold and magnificent and the like, but the Son of God is content to call himself Jesus. Those seeking salvation may draw near to the Father with boldness. We can have access with confidence. Why? Because of that name, Jesus. It is his role and his delight to show mercy. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John tells us that in 3:17. The name Jesus is a comforting name to believers because it has given them what money cannot buy. And that's inward peace. A peace that truly surpasses everyone's understanding. It's eased their wearied conscience and given their heavy hearts a break. So why is this name Jesus? Why is it so important? Why is it something I need to understand? Why does it permeate all of Scripture? I want to share a few things with you, why I believe that. And the first is this. It's a chosen name by God. God chose this name. The name Jesus was very popular in the first century. It was no different than any other name like Bill or Jimmy or Sue or Nancy. It was a popular name. Even in our day-to-day, the name Jesus is very popular in Latin America. Jesus. It's very common. While this is true, this is still the name chosen by our Heavenly Father for the Son to use during His time of humility on this earth, as He lived in humiliation, robed in flesh and blood, hair and nails, muscle and bone. The name Jesus was not given to our Lord by Mary and Joseph. They didn't sit around and come up with that name. It was a name handpicked by God, given to one of His messengers, the messenger of the Lord, delivered to Joseph in a dream in Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because He will save His people from their sins. It's not what my name means. This alone makes it a name that stands out as special. The name Jesus was chosen by God to remind all people that the Lord saves. And this chosen name reveals a side of Jesus that a lot of people fail to grasp. While God is a God of wrath and judgment, and rightfully so, He's also a God of pure and holy love. 1 John 4:16 reminds us, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. God is love, and everything He does is an outgrowth and an expression of His love toward us. Therefore, when the Father sent Jesus to come into the world, He was sending a message to humanity. Jesus' own testimony about Himself was that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The name Jesus was chosen by God to also reveal the Son's mission. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, according to Luke 19. And the Father's heart, it reveals the Father's heart. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. He's patient with us. Doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. How do I come to repentance? I turn away from the life that I've always lived and understand under my own name, and I live under the name of Jesus. Listen, God isn't in the damning business. That's not what He desires. He's in the saving business. He doesn't want anyone to perish in the depths of hell. That's not what He delights in. He tells us that hell was not made for the lost. Did you know that? A lot of people go around, oh, hell's for the lost. No, that's not why it was made. It was made for the devil and his angels. Listen to Matthew 25:41. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from Me, you who were cursed, into the eternal fire. That's the destiny of those who do not acknowledge Him. Into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Not prepared for mankind. Prepared for who? The devil and his angels. It's not prepared for you and me. But when the Father chose the name Jesus as the one His Son would bear during His time of humiliation on this earth, He was telling every creature in His universe, in one word, what His goal was. And that goal was redemption, salvation of mankind. This is what He wanted, and this is what He accomplished through the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. It is a chosen name by God. But there's something else. It is also a name to be praised. His name is to be praised. A lot of people go around praising themselves. If you ever watch football, basketball, baseball, you know, you see they praise themselves. to every other name ascribed to people throughout time. We can attach a list of good and evils done by those persons. To the name of Jesus, however, can only be attached praise, honor, worship. The Bible tells us that when this name is heard, it is to be reverenced with praise. That means feared, a holy fear of what this name means that would cause one to drop to their knees and begin to worship. That's how important this name is. And this name, not only to you and me, but in heaven, it's on earth, it's under the earth. One of the ways the name of Jesus is to be praised is in humility. We must praise Him in humility. His name is to be praised humbly. The passage we read talked about every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow. Think about that for just a moment. The bowing of the knee. It's a clear sign of humility and reverence to a holy Savior. Approaching God with sincerity and humility is required because He is the most holy sovereign. Nothing is more holy than Him. And we know Him as our loving Father who delights to hear us praise His name. I'm a terrible singer. If I got up here to sing, you guys would leave or you'd throw rotten fruit at me. But the Father loves to hear even me praise His name. Audibly. When we sing these songs on Sunday morning, don't think that we're doing it for you. I really want you to hear that. We're not doing it for you. Our responsibility is to help usher you before the throne of God, singing songs of praise to the Father. Not for our pleasure, not for our likes or dislikes. It's for Him. And if we approach Him with humility, that's the mindset we'll have. It's the mindset we should have. He longs to hear our praise, and we need to approach Him with humility. In biblical times, naming something or someone conveyed the authority of the namer over the one who was named. Therefore, in telling us that God has ultimately named everything, Paul actually proclaims the Lord's full and unquestionable sovereignty over all. Therefore, He is to be praised humbly. And as we humbly worship Him and praise Him, our praise has a purpose. Our praise is to bring honor. As we worship humbly, our praise is to bring honor to His name. Not only will there be a bowing of knees before Jesus, but the name of Jesus, did you catch it in the text? The name of Jesus will also be confessed by the lips of every creature. Yes, little lizards and frogs and bunny, every creature, and all men. Men, angels, devils alike will join their voices in one mighty chorus and will together exalt the blessed name of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that day when the entire universe is filled with the deserved praise of our holy and righteous Jesus. This is why vocal praise is so vital. It's so important. When we publicly exalt the name of Jesus, we're merely getting in on God's plan for Jesus and for His people. That's what we're doing. Our passage tells us that Jesus is and will be honored in heaven. There, that precious name of Jesus is honored as it is nowhere else. When the name of Jesus is heard in the heavenly realm, it is the catalyst for rejoicing and praise. In heaven, the name of Jesus is a constant source of praise. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 11 says, after this I looked, John's testimony, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders of the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and you know what they did? They worshiped God. Man, if you don't like worshiping God, you're not going to be happy in heaven. Because that's all we're going to do, is worship. Jesus will also be honored on earth. The passage tells us that. For most, the name of Jesus is nothing more than a byword. It's used like some very obscure words. Yet there are some who truly revere the name of Jesus. When his name is heard, the mind of the saved goes back to the hour when Jesus came in and lifted the weight of their sin. Or it should. Our minds return to the myriad of times Jesus has appeared upon the storms of our lives and has spoken peace to the billowing waves that have threatened our peace and our sanity. While there are a few who love and worship that name, there is coming a day when the name of Jesus will be exalted throughout the entire earth. The day will come when the earth will bow at the sweet name of Jesus. And in verse 10, we're told that every tongue will honor him under the earth as well. While Jesus was here on earth, as he was doing his ministries, as he was performing miracles, even the demons gave him deep respect and reverence. They did. More so than some of us, maybe. We've gotten into a habit, I think, of familiarity and maybe contempt. But the demons, they revered him. They respected him. Mark 5, 6, when he demons saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. Luke 4, 41, moreover, demons came out of many people and shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. In James 2, 19, James, the half-brother of Jesus, the one who went to try and pull him away from the crowd with his mom. Remember all that? In James 2:19, you believe that there's one God? Good. Big deal. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder. However, they still work against him. They try to overthrow his kingdom. And they do this by promoting false systems of worship and by spreading liberal theology. But the day will come when all the demons of hell and all the henchmen of Satan, even the old devil himself, will bow at the feet of Jesus and will confess him as Lord. Remember, his name is chosen by God. And his name is to be praised. And finally, the name Jesus is important because it is the only name that has the power to save. By its very definition, the name of Jesus speaks about salvation. The name means Yahweh is salvation. This is an appropriate name for Jesus because it is in his name and in his name alone that salvation can be found. Remember, Acts 4, 12, turn there, read it, know this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, have salvation. That means no longer enslaved to sin and darkness. No longer having an eternal destiny that is separated from God. But now we can enjoy eternity in the present with God. And for all eternity, being with Him. Jesus testified about himself in John 14, 6. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. It doesn't matter what your name is. Unless you submit to the name of Jesus, you will not have salvation. It doesn't matter what your grandparents' names were. It's only by His name. According to Philippians 2, 5 through 8, those verses just above what we read this morning, this man named Jesus went to Calvary and he died for each and every person on the face of this earth throughout all of time. And he humbled himself and he died in the sinner's place, in your place, in my place. We're sinners. He died in our place. Okay? And during the Roman rule of Palestine, tens of thousands of Jewish men, they were crucified by the Romans. They crucified so many people on one day that they ran out of wood. But of all those who died on a Roman cross, none are remembered except this man named Jesus. All the others lie forgotten in their graves. But this man named Jesus, when he died in the place of others so that they might live through him. The name of Jesus, it can be misspoken by the sinner, and it will accomplish nothing more than making his day of judgment worse for blasphemy, of mistreating that holy name. However, if that glorious name is spoken out of a heart of faith, then that same sinner can experience firsthand that salvation that is contained in that name. These verses, they tell us that they're speaking to us about a man who is not dead. Okay? He's not dead. He did go to the cross. He did die, but he was resurrected. Folks, we don't hang our futures. We don't base our hopes or exalt the name of one who is dead and decaying in a tomb. No, our Savior lives. That's how he saves. Go back and remember with me Matthew 28, 1 through 6. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." This is why God has exalted this holy name, Jesus, and Jesus alone. Entered this sin-cursed world, stepped boldly into the gaping jaws of death, and snatched away victory from the icy grip of death and defeat. Jesus and Jesus alone conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And he conquered sin for each and every one of us for all time. He is worthy of our praise because his name is above every name. Yeah, there's something special, really special about that name. And so I have a really simple question. Do you know that name? Have you spoken that name for salvation? Not in cursing, but in salvation. Have you experienced the power behind that name? Does it move you when you sing that name? When we sang this morning that he's the rescue for sinners, does that mean anything to you? Is that your personal testimony? If you have, then you know why this is a name above every other name. You know why Jesus is exalted and why just the mention of that precious name can speak peace to those who are troubled. It can speak comfort to those who are hurting. It can speak life into those who are walking dead. It can speak joy into the sadness of life. It can speak hope into the hopeless. And it can speak glory to the saved soul. Do you know Him? Because I have another piece of truth. You need Him. And guess what? Here's a promise. He is as close as the mention of His name. If you've never called on the name of Jesus for salvation, I really want you to think about doing that this morning. There's no need to wait. He's here. He delights in who you are and wants to see you grow into who He wants you to be. Call on His name, and you shall be saved, because His is the name above every name.